Help us, God, to see and taste your goodness this day through the words of your faithful servant Mary, your ongoing gift to the church as we gather in this place and time. Amen. I'm going to start by having you do a little visualization today. I didn't realize that Mary Stevens wasn't going to be here today, but she realized that because she very responsibly recruited Michael to do our projection today. But because of that, I sent her a slide. Now, you're used to Pastor Wendell always using slides with his sermons, but I hardly ever use slides with my sermons. Well, today I was going to use a slide with my sermon, just one. Since I sent it to Mary, it didn't get on the screen. So I'm going to have you just do this visualization of the slide I would have had on the screen. It's a flower, so it's not too far off of what we do have on the screen, so that's good, except it was those fairy bell flowers that bloom in the spring, and they bloom underneath the leaves. So in this picture, there's these green leaves with these fairy bell flowers underneath, and then in the corner, on the edge of the far green leaf, is a little tiny green metallic bug. Okay, so do you have that in your head visualized? Okay, if you're having a hard time, just visualize a little bug on the sunflower up there, and that'll do it too. Okay, with that, I will proceed. While I have never taken a photography class and no longer own any other camera than the camera embedded in my Android smartphone, one of my forms of recreation, nevertheless, is photography. I find joy and creative fulfillment in attempting to capture the beauty and intrigue of the world around me through my phone camera lens. Those of you who occasionally see my Facebook posts know that I especially like to take pictures of flowers and foliage. Well, a few years back on a spring hike through Bazelle Forest, I took that picture that I visualized for you, and my interest in taking the picture was to capture the beauty of those delicate fairy bell flowers hanging down from the green leaves. And it wasn't until I came home and began looking at and editing my pictures that I saw the little metallic green bug posing on the leaf next to the flowers. Well, it was not the first time, and probably not the last time, that I took a picture of something I didn't even see at the time I was taking the picture. Part of the delightful experience of photography is discovering that the camera lens sees more and reveals more than that of which the photographer is even aware. So it is that the camera lens magnified that which was there all along, but unnoticed and unacknowledged until discovered through new insight. As I have grown older and my eyesight has become worse, I find another form of magnification I greatly appreciate is the magnifier app, also on my phone. When I'm struggling to read fine print, which happens more frequently than used to be the case, with a swipe and tap of the finger, I'm able to instantly magnify words and numbers. So it is, with the help of another eye, so to speak, magnification is both a gift and asset in my life. By revealing the unseen, it sometimes brings wonder and awe. By bringing into focus that which is unfocused, it leads to often obtaining needed and important information. Today in our worship, we do commemorate the life and witness of Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. For our gospel reading, we read the Song of Mary from Luke, also known and referenced as the Magnificat. This name comes from the first line in which Mary proclaims, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Like a camera lens or magnifying glass, the story of Mary, the song of Mary, the body, soul, and voice of Mary help us to see that which is sometimes unseen. The voice and words of Mary bring into focus that which might have become unfocused. In the early part of the 5th century, the church council, which was convened at Ephesus, gave Mary the official title of Theotokos, which is a Greek word translated as God-bearer. As Mary was one with the child in her womb, it reminds us to pray to be one with Christ as we both approach and leave the table of communion and take Jesus with us into the world. While Mary's act of carrying and giving birth to Jesus in her body is an important reminder of Jesus' incarnation, it is the song of her soul magnifying the saving acts, promises, and mercy of God, which continues to be important for us today. Martin Luther pointed out that the works of God magnified through Mary's song are mercy, breaking spiritual pride, putting down the mighty, exalting the lowly, authoring trust, and giving good things, which he usually identifies as life, forgiveness, and salvation. Luther claimed that all six of these works find their origin in and point to the incarnation, which is God's greatest work and from which we receive salvation and its benefits through no merit of our own. Living in the world that we live in today, in which pride is too often equated with a patriotism that seeks to dominate rather than serve, we need to be reminded that the proud are scattered in the thoughts of their hearts. Living in a world in which lowliness is often scorned and shamed, hearing of a God who looks with favor on the lowly is a necessary antidote to oppression. Living in a world in which starvation, hunger, and malnutrition persist, as Pastor Wendell's sermon pointed out last week, we need to hear that filling the hungry is at the heart of God's desire. Those, on the other hand, whose wealth blinds or numbs them to the basic needs of others, will be surprised one day to find bankrupt souls reflecting only emptiness at the end of their life's journey. If we get too far, too distant from the magnification, witness, and power of Mary's song, we risk becoming complicit in the way the world is through the eyes of the rich, powerful, and proud who put their trust in schemes of their own devising. They then attempt to seduce us and others in believing that this is where salvation is found. Yet Mary's song forces us to take a closer look, to see what is often not seen, and to know with clarity the saving power of our God, which reverses the forces of destruction and death, deceitfully masquerading as liberty and life. A close, magnified look through the eye of the Spirit, giving voice to a young Mary, reveals the joy and wonder of the lowly being lifted up and the hungry filled with goodness beyond measure. For centuries within the church, Mary's song, the Magnificat, has been included in our evening prayer liturgy. So it is when we sing this song in Advent and Lenten evening prayer services, and occasionally on Sunday morning and at other times, we join our voices with Christians who have gone before us and will come after us. This song reminds us that at the close of the day, whether we were filled or empty, we bring ourselves to God, who promises to pour down mercy. Thus it is that pride, entitlement, and trust in worldly powers is drowned. After mercy's drowning of these things comes mercy's drenching of renewal, rebirth, and trust in the transforming power of God's favor and love. The story of Mary and the words of her song magnify God as God relates to us and our world, restoring our perspective on God's saving power. Regardless of the sin, sickness, and chaos around us, our trust in the goodness of God leads us to live lives of joy, praise, and service. So we sing and we pray this day for the world for which Jesus died, for the world in which Jesus lives, and for the world God intends to save through the ongoing incarnation of Jesus Christ, source of mercy. We pray that the eye of the Spirit will help us to magnify and rejoice in this God. Amen.